just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. After a little hiatus this summer, getting some vacations and other things in, I'm back this fall now, and we're going to do some previews and some gearing up for Cal Poly athletics, Cal Poly sports this fall. We're going to do some gearing up for high school athletics and some other things as well. So thanks for joining the podcast. Today's podcast is with Cal Poly Director of Athletics, Don Oberhelman. I had a meeting scheduled with Don probably about a week or week and a half before we met, and it just so happens that the day before we met up to tape the podcast, it came out in the San Luis Obispo Tribune that there was a Cal Poly wrestler who had made some homophobic remarks and was caught on tape, and his wrestling scholarship got revoked. And so that was actually something that was made clear to me that wasn't on the table in terms of being able to talk about, unfortunately. So we won't be able to talk about that, but we did talk and I asked him some questions about Cal Poly football and what the expectation is for this year. We talked a little bit about Cal Poly basketball as well, kind of the two highest profile men's sports. We talked a lot of Cal Poly volleyball too, and some other things in terms of how this last year has been different for Don as a athletic director, given some of the things that have gone on campus at Cal Poly. I asked him, you know, Cal Poly is certainly a more political place now than it was 7 years ago or so when he got hired. So we talked a little bit about that and how his job maybe changes as well. And like I said, I asked him about some of the sports, some of the goods and bads of the past year, and kind of where Cal Poly athletics is headed. It's something I've done for probably the last couple of years. This was maybe the third summer that we've met up and chatted, and always appreciate the time. And I hope that you guys get something out of it listening. Anybody who pays attention to Cal Poly or college sports, it's, you know, definitely an interesting conversation, I feel like, when I talk to Don. So hope you enjoy it too. It's the Fansmanship.com podcast.
Big bear trips if you sniff the ski lift. Big bear trips if you sniff the ski lift. West side swag, catch a wave. Hollywood swag, smash a bay. East side swag, hipster man.
Don Oberhelman, it seems like we do this, it's probably been like, this is the third year now, maybe in a row, that we've been able to sit down in the summertime.
Yeah.
It's a little warm in the Mott Gym offices up here. I know you you deal with it with the mic and everything, with the fan and everything else as I adjust the microphone levels. How are you doing? How's your summer been?
Busy. Been very, very busy, but fun. You know, we've spent a little bit of time on the road, you know, engaged in some fundraising activities, going to see some Cal Poly people around the state, so it's a good kind of busy.
Okay. Yeah. So what was something fun, interesting that you did this summer? Started off light.
Well, two things. One, I took a personal vacation to Ireland, which I've never done an actual true 2-week vacation before.
Okay.
And that was amazing. We've never done anything like that before, and got to go with a very, very dear friend of mine who's was our team chaplain back when I was at Southern Mississippi.
Wow.
And has remained a good friend of ours and is from County Galway. So we got to go with him as our tour guide. So that was really special. Cal Poly related, though, we just, Ashley Offerman and I just got back from Lake Tahoe, where we had a Cal Poly event up there with, there were probably 50 people out there hanging out at varying times. That, you know, there was a couple of days of golf and some hiking and some other things that we all did collectively as a group, and then gather for dinner at night and socialize. And it was a great opportunity to engage some of those folks, some new folks that we haven't previously engaged with. So as we try to expand our footprint and expand our capabilities, obviously that's going to have to come from private giving. So it was a very important time and a good way to spend our time.
Bouncing off of that,
I saw the baseball field a few weeks ago, kind of fully demolished. Yeah. There's sounds over there. I got to interview Larry for a thing for the magazine, for Cal Poly Magazine, and it was, you know, it was good noises, I guess, over there for something that you guys have been planning for a long time. Where's that standing? What's your guys' expectation for, you know, that? You talk about, you know, money and other things. I mean, that's something that's tangible that's happening now.
It is, boy, and that thing is that thing has been a long time coming. Labor of love, to say the least, but it has been a real challenge in a lot of ways to get that thing off the ground. You know, anybody that's ever built anything understands what the frustrations that you can have from fire marshal that can, you know, can't get the steel here for this, that, or the other, and then the bricks don't, whatever it is.
Cost change
The costs have changed dramatically over time. So to finally get the building demolished and now be digging into the hillside is very, very satisfying. So what we're expecting is, they say it's going to be a 9 to 12 month project, which seems, long, but I think what people don't realize is not as simple as putting up a house. There's a lot of other things that have to go into it. Obviously they've been digging for a while, and then there's retaining walls and other things that have to get poured. So it is a little more complex than just a simple construction project. So what we're thinking is either early or up until maybe when conference play starts, we'll be moved in to the new facility. The goal was for us to not be displaced for more than a season. And there was one point when we were looking at this that we might be out for a season and a half. Well, we opted to delay ourselves the construction so we didn't start during the season.
So you could have started before last season started. You could have started in January, February.
Probably more like it would have been during the season. Okay. It would have been probably March or April.
Okay.
But we could have started during this past season. Said let's not be out for part of two seasons, because that would be the worst case scenario.
Right.
Let's be out of one full season. So worst case scenario now is we're going to be out for one full season. Best case scenario is we won't be out of season at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be a remarkable achievement if we're able to pull that off. But there's way too many variables to be able to make a prediction on how that's going to go.
There was a moment last year, and there was a moment last year where the baseball team didn't have a good start, kind of took themselves out of really a NCAA tournament contention before conference started, without winning conference necessarily. And so there was a moment there where I kind of added up the winning percentages of, you know, baseball and basketball and football, kind of the three major men's sports. And there was a minute there where the combination of those three, if you kind of just average the winning percentages, was going to be the worst that it has been, maybe in D1, but certainly in a couple of decades probably. Baseball turned it around at the end of the year.
They did.
Another really good finish to conference, which has kind of been a typical thing for them recently. Why do you think, I mean, football team was 1-10, basketball team was 9-22, and maybe lumping them together isn't fair, but, you know, yeah. Why do you think it was such a struggle last year when it comes to, like, I guess the two highest profile sports?
Yeah, well, I don't think it is really fair to lump them together. I think things tend to go in cycles. You know, football is so many different little things, I think, led to that. And with the benefit of hindsight, there's could have been some things, I think, that we all could have done a little bit differently to try to hang on to the season. We made some decisions early on about keeping redshirts on guys,
right,
that probably could have helped us. That, you know, again, we're making that decision 2 and 3 games in when guys are going down.
Right.
Maybe we would have made a different decision. Maybe we wouldn't have. I can't say that for sure.
Maybe in a year or two you could make that.
We can. I think that's a fair point. So these guys will be, you know, redshirt freshmen and contributing this year. We'll see how they do as fifth-year seniors.
Right.
And if they perform very well, I think that we'll be able to point to that and say that was a very, very good decision. You know, I think we got to do a better job with our students and teaching them how to be leaders. I think we missed the mark with all of our programs on internal leadership. The generation, I'll never be one of those guys, the crotchety guy, oh, this next generation won't amount to anything. They can't do this. They can't do that. I mean, I remember my dad criticizing my generation because we played Atari,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah,
for 30 minutes a day. So, but there is definitely a gap in communication. They want to avoid conflict at all possible with their friends and their teammates, and I think we got to find a way to work through that. That's not unique to Cal Poly. That's not unique to athletics. But I think we need to implement a few things differently, and we're working on some plans to try to teach our upperclassmen to be better leaders, because I see that as a void across most of our programs, not all, but most.
So is that something that you as athletic director kind of, I guess for lack of a better, like look at, analyze, try to come and then systemically kind of help all the programs at the same time with that? Do you talk to coaches specifically and the coaches do their thing, or how does that work athletic department-wise?
I would answer with all the above. What we're working on, and it's too early to really say what form it's going to take, but I would like to start some things here in the next 30 days before classes start with our team captains, let's say. We've had Block P in existence for years. Block P is our Student Athlete Advisory Committee, and it's kind of been a group that just kind of gets things done. Mm-hmm. They're an advisory group to me as student athletes. They can come tell me things that, hey, we're hearing this, or somebody told us that, so it's indirect. It's been very, very helpful. I think we're going to change the course of that a little bit. It's truly going to be a captain's council. Instead of you get assigned by the coach to do it. No. You're the captain, so you are part of this group now. And I think we can use that as an avenue. Teaching them to communicate better with each other and having that uncomfortable conversation. There's some students just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Others can have it, but they can't follow up. You know, they're mad because, you know, you did something bad in practice they didn't like, and they yell at you for it, and then they walk away. Well, that's not sufficient either. You know, okay, you told them what you have an issue with, senior to freshman. Then you got to go back to them and build them back up and explain to them that we have to have you be better. We can't be successful without you. Those kinds of build them back up. And we have to find ways to educate our students on how to do that better. To me, that's one of the things that's been working against us this year. Recruiting better talent is becoming harder and harder and harder with our admission standards. And I think I've seen when you come, just pick a sport, you come to a women's basketball game. Women's basketball finished second in the Big West this year. But when you look at the teams that we're playing, they look more athletic. They look different across the board. And, you know, I think part of the reasons is it is getting harder and harder and harder on us admissions-wise, and that pool of applicants that is Division I talent is shrinking that we can get admitted. We are the hardest Division I school to gain admission to in the state of California for an athlete.
After the basketball team lost their last game, it was something that Joe talked about, you know, when kind of what's next, how do you kind of solve it. They finished seventh place, mm-hmm. I think, five straight years now. Yeah. Of course, the first year was a kind of improbable NCAA tournament run, but I don't think they've won a Big West tournament game since then, have they? As seven seed, I don't think they've upset anybody. I think they got close a couple times. So he talked a little bit about, and we see Santa Barbara doing it a lot with their new head coach there and bringing in a lot of grad transfers.
Graduate admissions.
I'm curious as to why that's an issue here, and it's not an issue at, I don't know, Fullerton or other Cal States. Is there something about the timing at Cal Poly that's different?
I think there's two ways to take it. First, we can talk about the grad transfers. Mm-hmm. It's all about the timing. We are not even asking for any sort of special admits. We're asking for waivers of time, mm-hmm. meaning there's an application deadline. And I can't tell you what that is off the top of my head, but it's 5 months before before anybody's considering it as an athlete.
Sure. So let's say it's December or something.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, we're still 5 months away from graduation at that point, right.
And all the transfers happen in the summertime anyway.
They do. Mm-hmm. So we're missing out on.
Do other schools have those same deadlines or waivers?
Well, if they do, they're waiving them.
Okay.
So we're finally having some of those conversations about trying to get those. And one of the differences at Cal Poly versus other places is there's no graduate admissions protocol. Here, in terms of there's no graduate admissions, there's no centralized graduate admissions. You apply directly to the college.
Okay.
And right. Each one's responsible for making that decision. And that gets really challenging for us.
Right.
To try to go to each one and try to get them to waive their deadlines. Some are cooperative, some aren't.
Have a master's that matches with what people want to do anyway.
They're looking at the grades, obviously, and saying, well, or we only have 15 spots this year and we're full by the time you guys even come talk to us.
Right.
and we can't have them hold the spot because we don't know who this person is yet until, you know, March, April, May,
right,
when we get contacted. So other schools have had greater success. The UCs all have centralized graduate admission, so it's a little bit different.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's just a little bit different here, and we have to find our ways in order to do that. Graduate transfers can be very successful here, and we found a way to get a couple of them over the years for various sports, but it's been very few and far between.
Is that something you're hoping changes?
We are, and it's becoming a more and more... the NCAA's changed the rules. That's why it's becoming a big deal. You used to not be able to do this. Well, right, the NCAA's now completely changed the rule, which is essentially you graduate, you can do whatever you want.
Right, and we saw, I think, you know, probably three or four guys on the men's basketball team essentially graduate.
That are going to try to do
that. Right, that are efforting that, one or two that definitely did it, and a couple that are working towards that.
Correct.
Right.
And we're going to be able to replace those maybe with a graduate transfer. We'll see. At this point, it's probably unlikely, and I think we got a roster the way Coach wants it, so he's pretty pleased with what he's got.
Right.
But the goal is to, and of course with basketball, it's a whole different deal. I'm sure most people don't understand this, but basketball transfers, and I think it was 40% was the number it was pegged, that 40% of students that enter as freshmen to play Division I basketball will transfer at least once.
It's crazy.
That is a massive number, and that's a massive problem. And it's, I think part of it is, well, there's 50 reasons. I can't go into all of them.
Sure.
But I think part of it is just this misperception that I've always been a star. I come in, and now I'm not a star.
Sure.
Well, it's not my fault. It's the coach's fault. Then they go someplace else and find out it's the exact same thing. You know, maybe you aren't going to play in the NBA. Maybe you need to go ahead and get a business degree from Cal Poly and be just a very, very good Division I basketball player.
And the devil's advocate of that is if coaches can go school to school.
Of course.
Right.
The hypocrisy of it is
right.
is hilariously transparent. It's
right
there in front of you.
Right.
So I'm not for placing more restrictions on them.
Right.
I don't have the greatest answer.
Right.
Because there's some people that say you should sit a year and lose a year every time you go. One of the other ones they've said is now, okay, there's APR implications that if they transfer with below a 2.6 and then they somehow flunk out, the bad APR follows the former school.
Right, which motivates that school to want to make it work.
Correct.
Right. To swallow the, if they think they made a bad recruiting decision, to swallow that recruiting decision.
Absolutely.
Too, right? Because transfers kind of are motivated on both sides of that too sometimes. So
they are, and in many cases, and Cal Poly's not this way, but in many cases all these kids want to do is play basketball.
Right.
And for our student athletes, if all they wanted to do is play basketball, they're not going to come here.
Right.
Because they probably can't get in, first off.
Right.
So our student athletes are just a little bit different than what you'll see, I think, at most places.
So we mentioned football, like you talked about some of the kind of, you know, things that might be going on there, and we can talk about this upcoming season. Basketball was 9-22 again, like seventh place again. What do you see as some of the like reasons for that, and what do you see kind of as you analyze, you know, that program? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, so I want to see improvement, and last couple of years have been pretty stagnant, I think. I have some viewpoints as to why, and I've shared those with Coach Calero, and he shared some of his viewpoints with me that we'll keep between he and I. But I am a believer in him and his ability. I think he's an excellent coach, and I think he's excellent for Cal Poly. And I've used this line with a few people before that when they look at it and say, well, what's the deal? And I think there's a lot of things that work against us. Chiefly, you know, getting kids in school is very, very challenging. I think we have some financial limitations. Maybe coaching isn't our biggest issue. And just switching coaches gets you in this cycle. And I've seen other programs do it where every 3 years, okay, we didn't win the conference in this guy's first 3 years, we fire him, you start the cycle over. And it happens again and again and again. And I've seen it in a couple of our conference peer universities that have done that. And they're still right where they were a long, long time ago. You can argue, so are you. Well, I don't know that we are. I think we have some stability that they don't have. And I'm a firm believer that you look around the country and you see the coaches that were stuck with longer term tend to have more success the longer that they're there. I use the Bill Snyder example. Today,
you're a Kansas State guy.
I am.
To be fair.
I am.
Okay.
I'm a graduate, so I've seen this up close. He didn't win a game until year two, and he didn't win a Division I A game, and I think until year three. Today, he would have been fired.
Yeah.
And with probably by his fourth year, he certainly would have been fired. And I'm not a believer in having that kind of a quick trigger. I'm a believer in developing those relationships and giving them the time that they need to do their job. The other part of it is, and I will stand by this for the rest of my career, we are never going to be a program that evaluates solely based on wins and losses, ever. You know, football went 1-10. We also had the highest APR in the country last year, so we're certainly doing some things well. Now, I'd rather be top 20 in both APR and academic progress rate, and in terms of the poll. And I think we can get back to that point. But our program is football anyway. Has some exceptionally talented young men in it, high achieving students. I would like to see us get a little bit more athletic. And those are the things I think we got to work on, is finding ways to become more athletic as a team. We have discipline, we have structure, we have high achieving students, academics are in place, right. Sports medicine's in place, weight room's in place, all is good. How do we get to be a little bit more athletic? And that's what our focus has got to be on.
You mentioned kind of letting guys go after 3 years or whatever in that kind of cycle with the basketball program. It's actually kind of been the inverse of that. Like there was some really good success.
There was.
What do you see as different now? And same with football. I mean, football, yeah. It's been 1 year since you guys were in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit less of a. It's a 1-10 season's a red flag either way, right? But it is what it is, right?
But 1 year removed from the playoffs,
right?
Too.
So, but. With basketball, what do you see as different now versus maybe, and we have the news that Dave Hansen and Jamal Johnson are coming back. When Jamal and Dave were on the same team, Cal Poly was successful, a winning program for mm-hmm. a number of years under Joe. What do you see as different now versus like when you got here?
I think that probably one of the reasons that we brought him back, I think, is trying to make that situation better. I think our style of play changed a little bit, and I think you're going to see Joe go back to a more defensive-oriented structure to try to remain a little bit more competitive, because, this isn't just a basketball thing, but at Cal Poly we are generally going to be undersized. We're going to – other programs are going to have better athletes due to open admissions policies that they may have. It's a challenge for us to get a lot of those kids in, and there's some numbers out there that are staggering about how few students in California can get into Cal
sure,
Poly.
Sure.
And some of those numbers aren't good for us, to be honest with you. It makes it a real challenge. So trying to commit more money to go out of state, I think, is a something that we need to try to do. For Joe, I think there's a little bit of style of play, a little bit of recommitment to what made us good 5 years ago. People started to use that against us in recruiting, that all we do is play defense and we don't score. Well, that also led to competitive games,
right.
And gave us a chance in some games when another team like a Long Beach State
right.
Did have far superior athletes to us
right.
And still will. The other one is, I think, some longevity with the kids. So we've had a few transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Going out. I think we need to do a better job with some of those kids and trying to keep them in the program and not having the misunderstanding that I'm an NBA talent. Having David Nwaba come through here
right.
has been a blessing in so many ways, but it's also been a curse in that I've heard from several guys that I'm just as good as David. And, you know, I kind of smile and say, well, I hear you, but
right.
I'm not sure that's necessarily the case.
Right.
You know, David has some special gifts.
Right.
When he was here, he could just do some things differently. I don't think he was by any stretch the greatest basketball player we've ever had here, but he had some athletic gifts
right.
that allowed him the opportunity to go to that next level, and I think he's going to continue to get paychecks to play in the NBA because of those natural gifts. And now, oh my God, he doesn't have to go to Cal Poly classes anymore. He's a Cal Poly graduate, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He can focus his time full-time to becoming a better basketball player, to developing the 12-foot jump shot and those kinds of things that, oh, wow, he's a really good basketball player.
Well, right.
Yeah,
right.
He kind of is.
Yeah, and we saw him get a lot of time with the Bulls last year.
We did.
So kind of I wanted to hit the two, I guess, highest profile sports first
yep.
in our conversation with football and basketball. What's your expectation for football this year? They start off the season at the best FCS team that there is.
They do.
And so what are your expectations for how this year goes? It's hard to, I mean, it's hard to completely bounce back. I guess it's hard to go from whatever the record was 2 years ago to whatever, to 1-10 last year. But it's hard to kind of boomerang. That's a really difficult thing to have, that kind of an anomaly, like a San Antonio it Spurs is. Drafting Tim Duncan kind of anomaly if you're looking at the pro game. But so what is, do you think, like a reasonable expectation for the football? And I'm talking to Tim next week
So in my conversation with all the coaches, I've never once, nor will I ever, quantify what success is going to look like. I'm never going to put a quantifiable aspect to it. I want to see improvement. I want to see us compete. I want to see us fight throughout the entire games. I want hope. I want hope. Now, going 1-10 is not hope.
Right.
Our schedule is much more challenging this year than it even was last year, unfortunately. A lot of that's going to be contingent upon our health, which is why I'm never going to be an athletic director that goes to a coach and says, you have to win X number of games, or you have to do this. I was at a previous university where the AD told the coach, you have to win 20. It's to the basketball coach, you have to win 20 to keep your job. So how do you think he scheduled?
Right.
Of course he won 20, right. But we were no better than we were the year prior. He just loaded up on really, really, really RPI 300 worse teams, and that really didn't make our program better. So I think that's a bad way to approach it. Injuries and other things can come into factor, and you know, so that's why I'll never do that. I think seeing those things for me, and of course I'm the primary evaluator of whether I see that or not, what I'm hoping for is the obvious improvement in those areas, all those areas that I mentioned, providing hope that we will continue to compete for Big Sky championships as we go forward and work together and make this thing better. We do have some challenges that a lot of our peer universities don't, which we've already talked about, and we've got to find ways to do a better job there. You know, I think it's easy for the layperson to sit there and say, you know, well, you're recruiting to Cal Poly. How hard can that possibly be? I think people need to understand it's incredibly challenging. It's not what they think it is. The things that we look at, I think you and I have talked about this, the thing that make San Luis Obispo and Cal Poly so awesome for us isn't the same thing that may make it awesome for the 17-year-old kid from LA County.
Right.
Oh, you have beautiful mountains. Well, I don't hike. I don't really care. We have beaches. Yes, so what? I'm in LA. I got them too. Right. Vineyards. I'm 17.
Yeah,
you know, I don't really care about your vineyards.
Right.
And I'm a little freaked out at the fact that you got cows on campus. So the things that we think are awesome about it are very much a negative for many of those kids that we would like to be recruiting.
Got it. So kind of shifting gears, the volleyball team this year was, I kind of like, thank God for the volleyball team was one thing. One thing that I said to myself in February when I was looking at those, you know, those kind of combined wins and losses for the three main men's sports. The volleyball team was dominant in fall and indoor. A lot of their teams coming back, so you know, really exciting. And Beach finished ostensibly, you know, second or third in the Big West, in the inaugural Big West Beach season, with, you know, a high profile head coach there and Sam Crossan, who was your first hire.
Yep.
You've hired other coaches obviously during your time here, but Sam was one of your first, you know, big hires, and was definitely, I mean, of, yeah, 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 Sam, I, Sam was one of your first big
I
hires.
He might
I think.
Have been the first, I'm trying to think,
yeah.
But
yeah, so yeah, like
either that or tennis, I can't remember.
So looking at that and knowing that, you know, he had a hard time early on, or his, you know, the program had a hard time in terms of wins and losses, and kind of seeing that process, is it satisfying to you to see a program like that? That, I mean, a lot of the other major coaches here were here when you got here. You talked about, you know, your lack of kind of quick trigger in terms of, you know, judging things on just based on wins and losses. But looking at volleyball, it's a coach that you hired, and is that a satisfying thing for you to see a program like that develop like it has?
I don't. It's certainly not more satisfying just because I hired him. I don't really care about that. It's satisfying just because I see good people doing good work, and he's worked his butt off. It's satisfying because he's been rewarded. You know, to go from, geez, I think maybe we went 1-15 his first
in conference, right?
In conference, yeah, there was like something brutal, to 16-0 6 years later. I mean, patience, he's an example of how patience can get rewarded, and we talked about it from the get-go. Give me hope. Let's get a little better each and every year. And there was, I think, 2 years ago, our record necessarily didn't get better. Our placing in the league didn't get better. We still finished third. But we had separated ourselves from fourth pretty dramatically.
Right.
And we're right up there, right behind number two, whereas a couple years ago, we were pretty far behind number two, if
right.
that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
And you can see it. Like, I can sit there and I can see we are way better and we're way more competitive against Long Beach State than we were the year prior.
Right.
So this year's third and last year's third is way different.
Right.
And I don't think most people see that. They just look at the record. You know, seeing how he's been able to build the program and just, Sam, just get a little better every single year, and that's exactly what he's done. And he's done so not compromising any of his standards of who he wants us to be. One of the reasons that we can be successful in volleyball, and it's I can't say it's easier necessarily, but when you look at the number of Division I talented volleyball players in the state of California, whatever that number is, probably 60-70% of them are admissible as Cal Poly students.
Versus other sports that are more like 20.
You take football and basketball, that number is going to be in the single digits okay. in terms of a percent, maybe 7% or 5%, whatever that is. So it makes it a little bit more challenging. Whereas a sport like volleyball, tennis, golf, cross country, some of those, a far greater number of those students that have the Division I talent can come here. What I think Sam is going to build here and continue to build is a little hotbed for volleyball. And there's a couple reasons why he's been so successful. One, we've developed a beach program where they work in concert with each other. Other schools that have both are not working in concert together. They're considered completely different sports.
Is it still structured where Sam's the director of volleyball, kind of, and that's kind of how that works?
Like, yeah,
he's all of it
is for now. I think we may be tweaking that, but the main factor is the two guys work together and they're willing to coach the same student. And you go to some other universities, they don't want that. Like, I recruited her, she's not playing outdoor.
Right.
Or I recruited her, I'm not letting her set foot on a hard surface.
Right.
You know, and for us, like, yeah, play both. If you're a great athlete, you're a great athlete. You can play both. We want you to play both. Many of them see their futures being on the beach side. So we've been able to kind of say, okay, you can come here and play beach. We're recruiting you to play indoor.
Right.
But if you're a great player on one, more likely than not, you'll be a great player on the other. And the two of them have been recruiting together versus separate.
They've known each other for a long time.
They've been friends for a long time. That's very helpful. Sam was the first one to come to me and say, we got to hire this guy. It's a great story, but Todd comes in with his gold medal and is like, here's my resume. It was really...
Did he really do that?
It was really funny.
Did he really do that?
Yeah, and he did it. It's like, I tell people that, and it was like, oh, how arrogant. It's like, he was kind of being campy and a little... he was being funny. And it made me like him immediately because I think I got it. What he was doing right off the bat, I was like, "That's really funny." But actually, can I see that? kind of want to hold it.
Is it really heavy?
Yeah, I kind of want to check that out.
Uh-huh.
Having somebody like that on your staff that you know, he's a household name, has been really, really important for us. I see nothing but continued success for both of those programs, and I feel like both beach and indoor, we can compete on a national level. We can win a national championship on the beach side. Indoor sides, you know, the big boys are spending more and more and more money on the women's sports that 20 years ago in California were able to compete a lot better in some of those sports. Why? Because the SEC wasn't having to spend money.
The SEC and the Big Ten, especially involved.
They didn't really pay attention to Title IX back then. Well, now they get it. Now they have to. So now all of a sudden you're seeing a volleyball program with multi-million dollar budgets.
We saw Tori and Emily go to mm-hmm. Europe. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
Oh,
to
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Oh, they watching it closely.
They won a tournament, and you said a lot of people see their future as being on the beach. Obviously, there's not like a pro indoor in the United States, but there is, you know, a beach circuit, and it's kind of cool to see them kind of go overseas too and compete with some other people out there, kind of take their whatever 2 weeks of summer that they actually get.
It was really cool because they went into that. The first one was a 16-team tournament, and they were the 16 seed, and they win it.
Right.
I was like, well, you guys did a poor job of seeding that thing is about all I can say.
Well, I mean, they lost in a – they did one last year, I think. I read something that Tori wrote that, like, she had gone to one last off season in China or somewhere.
Yeah.
Lost in the play-in game.
Yeah.
and had to sit there for a week, yeah, like not doing anything. So, so I, you know,
they had to work on this.
They had to work on that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So that was cool to see. And going forward, of course, you know, volleyball is going to be fun. They have a home game, a non-conference home game this year. Two of them in a row against UCLA. Yeah, that's exciting.
Well, we've been talking about that a lot. We're what I would like to see us do is host a tournament.
Yeah.
So it's really weird. Softball and volleyball have kind of gone down this pathway of,
right,
you want to go play as many quality RPI games as you can, and right, you can't really do that at home. It's really, really hard to do. So they, so what they'll do is they'll go to a multi-team event where you can go to one place. You can go to Denver and you play
4 games in 3 days.
Yeah, well, right, you play 3 games in 3 days, right, generally, yeah, and you're hoping that, okay, we got to play University of Denver, but we're also going to play Colorado and, you know, Oregon. Well, that's awesome. Let's go do that.
Right.
And at home, we're not going to get those kind of teams.
Unless you have a tournament.
Unless you have a tournament. Right. And that's what we need to do. And I think we're attractive, particularly to maybe Mountain West type opponents. I'm not sure we can get too many Pac-12s, but Mountain West, Big 10, Big 12 types would want to come out here to California, yeah, and maybe stay for a few extra days and train.
Sure.
I think we can be an attractive place for some of those. So we're working on that. We have UCLA coming. For a very odd, playing them twice in 2 days at home, which, yeah, is really weird,
yeah,
but really cool. Yeah. And I'm surprised they're willing to do it, because I told Sam, if I'm the AD at UCLA, there's no way I'm letting them come up here.
Well, and especially given that's where Cal Poly's best player came from, that was really interesting to me.
And
there's
still
really cool.
There's still probably some tension.
Of course.
I'm sure there. We're happy to have her, and she's happy to be here. Believe
yeah.
me,
yeah.
she's. Yeah. You know. We all make decisions at 17 sometimes that are not the best. I always feel like your actions after you make the decision is what makes it a good decision or a bad decision. But some of us were just not built for Hollywood, and I'm certainly one of those. I would have never considered that as an option. And I think once Tori got down there, she realized I'm just a simple Napa farm girl, and this is my sister's at Cal Poly having the time of her life, and she's built some amazing friendships. And
yeah.
Boy, I'd like to go be a part of that. That's more my cup of tea, so good for her. She figured it out.
So shifting gears, I guess, off the field a little bit, and I know there's some things that that we can't talk about, but Cal Poly, I think in general, it's pretty safe to say it's a more politically active place than 5 years ago or more, you know, when you got here. How many years have you been here now?
Seven.
7 years, okay. So like then 5 or 7 years ago, certainly a more politically active place. How's that affected your job and the way that athletics is viewed on campus?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily affected my job all that much. I think it's, I mean, yeah, I guess I'm probably spending a little bit more time engaged with in some more social activities with our students, talking to them more about how they feel about things than I did in the past. To be honest, I'd say maybe 5 years ago, my attitude about what we do with our students is our student athletes. I mean, so if let's say we have 140 incoming freshmen, we welcome them, get your butt to work, get to class, study, work hard. We love you. Welcome. Get after it. Get good grades. Make smart decisions. Work your butt off. Be coachable. And turn them loose. If you do those things, we're going to be fine. Now I think things are a little bit different for us. You know, we're never going to be Berkeley by any stretch when it comes to a level of social activism here, but unfortunately some things happened on our campus that I think probably rightfully caused some people to be upset. And I found myself talking to student athletes about their feelings, which was not something that I previously honestly spent a lot of time doing, because you're too busy to have feelings. What do you mean you feel things? Get back to work. And it's obviously not the right approach. So I've spent more time engaged with our students about how they feel about some things on campus. Do you feel welcome here? You know, what's happening when you get out of the hallowed halls of the Mott Athletic Center, the friendly confines, if you will? How do you feel about things? And I learned some things that were not as great as I thought we were here at Cal Poly on some of those fronts. So we certainly have some things to work on. I still believe us in athletics are doing a great job with helping our students adjust to college life, regardless of their background, ethnicity, religion. You know, we've always felt like those are things we don't care about. Well, I think now we've had to shift our focus. We do care about them, and we're here to help you find your way while you maintain your identity and your beliefs, whatever they may be, to make sure you continue to have a safe, welcoming place. And we've always been able to do that. We just didn't really talk about it. Well, now we're talking about it merely in the context of how do we help others on campus have what we have here in Mott, which is everybody feels pretty good about being over here. They're respected, they're valued, they're liked, and they're appreciated. And sometimes not everybody feels that way when they go other places on campus, and they feel it's because they are a little bit different. Maybe they are a little, their skin pigment is a little different, or their religion is different. And that absolutely 100% is not who we are.
Yeah, you talked about leadership in terms of internally with athletes and athletics. As the athletic director, do you have a vision for athletics or those leaders within the athletic department to be leaders on campus on that front? And how much, I mean, some people don't want or need that, you know, don't want that responsibility mm-hmm. either, but is that something that is kind of thrust upon them? I was at a football practice in the spring, and it was the day of the big march that they did around, and the protest, and I was kind of taking stock and for whatever percentage of the percentages of minorities on the football team way different than the community at large. And
correct.
And when you look at some of those programs like that, are those people that you have a vision for athletes and athletics to be a leader on that front on campus?
Nothing would make me happier. I don't know who that will be because I can't assign that. It has to be something they want to do. Mr. Jenkins on our football team seems to have been willing to be a bit of a voice for some of this. I'm not going to make him uncomfortable. He's going to do it as he wants to do it. I've always wanted a student athlete to run for ASI president, but I can't make him and that's the thing. They're getting their butts kicked as it is.
Dai has said some things on the basketball team.
Another great example. She's amazing. We have plenty of amazing opportunities for that. It's just, are they willing to put in the time, and do they want to put themselves out there in such an uncomfortable manner? Because it is a topic that I don't care who you are or where you come from, makes you uncomfortable. And I think we have to become comfortable with the discomfort, at least for the foreseeable future, until maybe we can get back to what I think Cal Poly should be. Which is a place that none of these things are all that important to anybody, and we're right back to what I think we do here in athletics is welcome, we love you, let's get to work. You know, you're one of us. Athletics has always kind of been that. You know, I mean, athletics has so many firsts when it comes from Jackie Robinson on, when it comes to either, some of the first lesbian women that have come out were athletes. Breaking color barriers and other things have been athletes. So I don't think this is unique to us. What I do think it is very unique to Cal Poly right now, because this has never been that kind of an environment. So as we try to improve diversity, these are things we have to talk about. And improving diversity helps athletics a lot.
Right.
And I also think there's been some, we were talking about the Fox News deal earlier, and I think there's some things that have been misreported on us too that people read it once and they believe it. Well, obviously we're not factoring these things into our general admissions.
Right.
So I'm putting all my faith in our president and others to make sure that we're managing this well, and how we recruit is important. So right. Not just in athletics, but in how we recruit regular students. We've discovered we're the most expensive school in the state of California, public, in the state of California, for that underrepresented student, because when they're coming here, they're getting no scholarship money. We're admitting that person, but we're not giving them any scholarship money.
It's also UCLA, not a place they can, I mean, San Luis is, by and large, I mean, it's one of the whitest counties in the state, and so, if you have minorities coming here, they're not living at home, generally speaking, right?
Correct. Like they can at other places, and be close to family and be close to home and all that. This is a truly destination campus, so there's a lot of factors at play there, and just people are going to have to trust our values in terms of what we need to do to get better as a university, not just as an athletic program. And diversity's got to be a huge part of that.
All right. Pivotal season coming up, I think. Pivotal year, just in general in athletics in a lot of ways. And at Cal Poly on campus, I think. It's going to be interesting thing to – and what is it? Is it September 1st? Is that what the game is? And North Dakota State. Are you going? Are you going to Fargo?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you'll be there.
I'll be there. I think it's a great way to open a season. A very challenging way to open a season. I mean, they're won 5 of 6 national titles, I think, there. So obviously, it's the best FCS program in the country, and probably a top 40 FBS program were they to play at that level.
Sure.
So it's going to be a challenge. We'll compete hard, and like I said, I want to see us compete. I want to see us work. I want to see us maintain our focus, and I want to see us finish a ball game. I think that's one of the hallmarks of being at Cal Poly, is being able to do all those things. And I've been very vocal about it. The last 2 games last year was the only time that I've not seen that in my time here at Cal Poly. And we're done talking about it. We're going to consider it fixed, and it's back to work. So I'm excited to see what we do in all our sports across the board. I'm excited about it. I love seeing our new students come in. And I'm fired up for the year. It should be great.
Give you 2 minutes. Any other new initiatives, new things happening, things people should know about here at Cal Poly with athletics?
Yeah, so we have had some staff transition this year. We've had a couple of retirements in our administrative team. We've expanded our academic advising staff, which has been huge for us, and actually that's who I was meeting with when you came in. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about some of the new additions to support staff. Some new assistant coaches, some that have been announced, some that have yet to be announced. But it's exciting having new people come in. They kind of bring a new energy and new kind of viewpoints. They bring their experience they had at other places, which is something I've done. You come in and, well, you know, at San Diego State or at Florida State, we did it this way. And, well, sometimes that works, and sometimes, well, that's not going to work at Cal Poly. Well, okay, well, we'll try another route. So it's good to have those new looks, and it's good to see our staff grow and get better and get stronger, and most proudly, even more diverse than what we were before. So exciting times.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Yep, you got it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.